We're in a series still called the Big Ten Values, and we're kind of winding down, and we've been using the Ten Commandments and looking at the Ten Commandments as values that we build our families on, values that we build our lives on individually, but also corporately with our families, where we're saying this is how we're going to raise our families. We're going to build our families upon these values. And as I've shared with you, and I'll share with you this again, guys, I have no business standing here telling you guys how to raise a family. I tell you what, man, it's, you peel back, and when the humanness sets in, it is so hard to even look at these values and say, this is what I'm building my family on, but it is so hard at times, you know, as our humanness kicks in, and we get distracted. It's so easy to get out of focus. It's so easy to just get caught up in the ebb and flow of life, where the next thing you know, years have went by. I've heard many of you say this to me many times. Some of you are empty nesters now, and you've just become empty nesters. One of your children, either your oldest or the youngest, is just going off to college or whatever, or taking that next step. And everybody makes that same statement. I can't believe it's been X amount of years. I can't believe how fast it went. I pray that as we look at this series called the Big Ten Values, that we take that and really bring it in to say, you know what? Time flies, and if we're not intentional, if we don't intentionally sit down and think about these things and teach these things to our children, and then also within our relationships, time just gets out from underneath of us, and we can miss out on such valuable opportunities. So this is really a recipe for strong family values. It's a recipe that says, you know, we're going to build our families on a strong foundation. We're not going to talk about it. We're not just going to look at it and say aspirationally, that's great. But we're going to look at it and we're going to breathe in actuality up to it. So if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19. We're going to look at yet another one. Again, coming down to the last few. By the way, you guys, we've said this before, and you guys are probably fully aware of this. But when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first so many of them deal with our vertical relationship, okay? And, you know, you're not going to have any other gods before me. There's only one God. Don't have any idols. So the first handful deal with our vertical relationship. If we can get the vertical relationship down, then the horizontal can happen a little bit easier, if we could say it that way. But the vertical has got to happen. If God's not first and foremost in your life, if God's not precedent over all things within your life, you're going to struggle with the horizontal, okay? It's going to happen because we're human. And we're going to struggle. I've had emails from you guys. I've had conversations with you as we've been in this, and you guys have said, man, I struggle with that one. Man, that one hit me hard because that's where I'm at. That's what I've been dealing with. Pray for me. And that's what it is. But when we can ensure or really work diligently, and passionately in keeping that vertical relationship, the horizontal is going to happen a little bit easier. But when you look at the Ten Commandments, that's what it is. You have the first so many that's about our relationship with God, and then the next few or whatever goes to the horizontal relationship with mankind. If this is off, this is going to be off. You can't have the horizontal without the vertical either. So please keep in mind that these are very, very important to be actual within our lives, and not just aspirational. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19 simply says, do not steal. Okay? Do not steal. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the words do not steal, back up even a couple of verses, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. A couple of these right in there, especially like murder and stealing and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, I do a pretty good job on that one, you know? I do a pretty good job. And I think I can relate with some of the guys in the New Testament, with the church in the New Testament, where they were all about the law, because really, if you think about it, in a sense, the law itself, do not steal, that's kind of easy to keep in a way. For most of us, I would say. Now, if you have a disorder that you like to snag things, five-finger discount things, this is a hard one for you, right? But when we look at some of these, we can say, okay, I got that one, check, you know? Well, let me just ask you this, because in the New Testament, Jesus takes it to another level. When you read in the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7, he starts off by saying, well, you've heard, do not murder. But I say, even if you talk about someone with harsh words, that's the same as murdering. Now he's really putting some teeth behind what is a little bit easier, right? So this morning, let's put a little teeth behind not stealing. Because I bet some of us would be like, oh yeah, I got that one down. But what does it really mean not to steal? Okay? Because I believe there's different ways that we steal. I believe there's different ways when we say do not steal. You know, today, or you know, as you leave here, you may go into a store, you may not physically take something that's not yours without paying for it, right? And technically steal it. But I wonder if we really looked at that and said, well, are there other ways, like Jesus, you know, you've heard not to steal, but I say, I wonder what some of those others would look like. Does that make sense? And what does that look like within my family? How do I steal from my family? I'm building these, you know, I want to build my family on these values. So what does that look like in my family? What do I steal from my family? And what would that look like? But let me just share with you a couple of various ways that we may steal. Number one, deception is stealing, is it not? When you deceive someone, you're really kind of stealing in a sense. And then defraud is a big one. Let me read to you some scams. Now just think about this for a second. These are top scams that happen today in our world, okay? Go in, just Google it. I love the word Google anymore, right? It's like a verb. Just Google it, right? Here's some top scams that are happening today, right? Phishing email scams. Phishing is in PH, like fat, PH, fat, whatever. Phishing email scams. Those are the emails that you get that's asking for information, right? Now, if you have an internet account or, you know, email account, stuff like that. Those of you that don't understand this, write this down. Do not give information to everybody, okay? Phishing, and they do it in various ways. Holy cow, how many times do you get an alert, like an email or something like that, or something that says, hey, if you receive a document from the IRS, if you receive a document from here or here or here, it really looks like it's from here, but it's not. We will never ask you for certain personal information. There's people out there that are phishing and trying to scam us through our emails, trying to get our information so that they can do certain things. How about the Nigerian scam? Now the Nigerian scam, and there's a couple others, but there is a name for it. The Nigerian scam is this. I am an attorney in Nigeria, and my client, have you had this one? My client has passed away or is getting ready to die, and they're wanting to will some money over to da 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 da. Okay? Have you guys had that one? No. If you get an email from me today, it's not really from me, but go ahead and fill it out. Okay? No. That's one. I've heard people that what happens is they're asking for your bank account. They're asking for your social security number. They're asking for personal information. And they're saying so that we can get this money deposited into your account. Well, obviously what happens when you give that information, they don't necessarily give and contribute. They take, right? Another one is a greeting card scam. Hey, send this greeting card to someone. And what happens is there's a scam tied behind it. How about a guaranteed bank loan or a credit card scam? You're guaranteed this money. Give us your information. We will deposit this money. And then there's the lottery scam. And this is the one I love. It's called the hitman scam. It says that I'm a hitman and I have been secured to take you out, right? And if you send me X amount of dollars, I will not take you out. That's essentially it. Has anybody had the hitman scam? None. Okay. By the way, you'd have gotten some money if you would have raised your hand for that one. So, anyhow. Then you have the romance scam. There's someone out there that knows you and they're going to run. How about the fake antivirus software, the Facebook impersonation, the make money fast scheme, travel scams. You've just won this luxurious vacation. Send us your information or just send us your bank account. Or your credit card number so we can charge you $14 for postage and handling, and we'll get this right to you, and then they take you for things. Delivery scams, fake news scams, stock market scams. There's all kinds of scams out there to defraud people. To steal. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of anybody that has fallen to one of these scams? A couple people, right? Yeah, a couple people know of some people that have fallen prey to these. I remember my dad, bless his soul, okay? He calls me one day and he says, hey, I just got this thing from Apple about some, was it an antivirus scam is what it was. And he said, you know, I just wanted to, just check in with me about it. And I'm like, what? You gave him your credit card? He gave me like their credit card, his credit card number. And I'm like, you barely use your credit, your debit card at a gas station, let alone send it to something, you know, coming through the email or whatever. I said, you need to call and cancel all this stuff, right? So, my mom it was just kind of funny in a way because they caught it, but it was just interesting that he fell to it. I don't know if interesting would be the key word. It was kind of freaky is what it was, but people are there to scam us, right? Do not steal. That's the way people want to steal. Instead of earning money and working hard at getting something, they want something for nothing and they want to steal or scam us. Defrauding, deceiving are all ways to steal. Okay, my question is this. How do we steal from our families? I mean, do you steal from your family? I don't think I steal from my family. But when I start thinking about, well, do I defraud them of time? Do I defraud them of... I've met with a certain individual where his wife was going to leave him because he stole time is what he did. He stole time away from the family. And she had had it. She had had enough of it. And so we were, you know, kind of working through this, but this is real stuff. I wonder how many of us sitting in here would say, well, I don't steal, but you know what? Now that one hits a little bit closer to home. You know, instead of spending time with my family, instead of spending time with my wife, instead of spending time with my kids or whatever it is, I can steal time. Maybe you steal time at work. Maybe you steal time at work where you're not really giving your 100% at work, but you're giving only like, you know, 2/3 of it or whatever. That's really kind of considered stealing time. Stealing. Now, again, we don't like to talk that way, but that kind of amps it up, right? It's a much easier to say, well, I don't really steal, but it's a lot different than we say, you know what? I do probably steal time. I steal emotions from my family. I steal, you know, whatever it is. I mean, this is what I want us to look at to say, how does this impact our family? And how are we really sensitive about this to build our family upon these values? Well, the question becomes this then. And it's a silly question, I think, but it's true. Why be honest? Why be honest? You know, why is it to be honest? Now, this is what I want to share with you, and this sounds really, really basic, and it is. But I want you to think about it for a second, okay? Because why be honest? Number one, God sees it all, okay? God sees it all. We reap what is sown. Dishonesty erodes character, and God blesses integrity. That's why we're honest. But here's what, as I was thinking about this message, not stealing time, how does it affect our families? I'm thinking about it, and I continue to think about it, and even this morning I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, this is such a basic message. How does it really hit us? How does it really hit me? How does a message like this, when we think about stealing, like you sitting here, and I'm trying to share just some thoughts where I believe God is leading us about stealing. How does that apply to you? How does it apply to me? First of all, if you have a relationship with Christ, when we have a relationship with Christ, hopefully we're not these individuals that just kind of takes that relationship for granted. Hopefully we're individuals that says, you know what, I want to live my life in a way because I'm in love with Jesus so much that I want to live my life in a way that's pleasing to Him. I don't want my life to be, you know what I'm saying? I don't want my life to be upsetting. Now when I say it that way, what I'm truly trying to convey is this. This isn't something where it's like, well, God sees it all and He'll, you know, He's the one that's going to zap you and all this other stuff. What about our intimate love relationship with Jesus? What about your intimate love relationship with God? God sees every single thing that we do. God sees all things. He's not removed. He's not some God that created things and kind of removed Himself and says, here you go, just kind of go at it and see what's happening. But God sees every single little thing that we do. My question is this. Does everything we do bring Him glory and honor? Are there times where I conduct my life that it doesn't bring glory and honor to God? I'm sure there is, and I could probably name a few. But looking at my relationship with God through those lenses versus, well, God sees it all, so God might, you know, God's the one's going to punish. It's not about punishment. It's not about punitive accountability. It's about a love relationship. That's a lot different, isn't it? It's looking at it from the lenses that God sees what I do. God sees what I do when no one else sees. God sees when I steal, when I may be stealing time from my family or from someone, my employer. God sees where I may fudge a number here and there. God sees when I do all these other things. And you know what? Maybe it's not, you know, it's one thing that, I mean, it is one thing that we do those things to people that we love, or maybe people we don't even know, but it's one thing to do it to people we love. And it's another thing to do it to our God that absolutely cherishes us and loves us. It's looking at it through the lenses of not so much a punitive action, but a love relationship that we have with God. God is so gracious and so mercy and so loving to us. God places these Ten Commandments within our lives not to kill joy that comes around us, but to actually increase joy, increase life. Because when we live a life of integrity, it brings a fullness to life. God sees all. Job writes in chapter 34, verses 21 and 22, "For his eyes watch over a man's ways, and he observes all his steps. There is no darkness. There is no deep darkness where evildoers can hide themselves." God sees it all. I wonder what God thinks of us. I wonder what God thinks of my actions at times when it comes to my family, building my family upon these values. Do I take them serious enough to say, you know what, God, there's times where I steal time from my family. I steal time from my wife. I steal emotional connection. I steal presents. And when I say presents, I'm not talking about Christmas tree presents. I'm talking about when we are with our families, are we truly present? I can't tell you how many times when you go to talk to someone and they're either messing around with their phone or they're looking off or whatever when you're trying to share something with them. And to me, it is so devaluing because they're clearly communicating that they're not present. That's stealing, which I think just takes away from it all. We're going to reap what is sown. Galatians 6:7 in the New Testament says this: "Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap." There's that side of being punitive, but there's also that other side over here that says, what I sow, it's going to come to fruition. So I can either sow negative things, I can either steal, I can either take these things that robs from my family, or I can build my family upon these values. And as I invest, and we're going to look at this for a second here later, but as I invest into my family, it's going to grow in these values. My relationship with my kids are going to grow. My relationship with my wife's going to grow. When I'm present with other people, my relationship with those individuals are going to grow. Dishonesty erodes character. None of us, I think, are hopefully not setting out to say, I really want to erode my character. I really want to destroy my character. Dishonesty erodes it. Proverbs 10:2, Solomon writes, "Ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone. Ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone, but righteousness rescues from death." God blesses integrity. Listen to Psalm 1:3, as I just kind of shared a little bit of this. Psalm 1:3 says this: "He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." When I look at my life and I look at these values and I say, I'm going to build my life upon these values and I'm going to build my family upon these values. And when I look at this and when I look about stealing, yeah, I could look at it from the letter of the law. It's easy for us to do that. Many times that's what we do. Many times that's even the questions we ask. We ask from the perspective of the letter of the law. Is it right to do this? Is it wrong to do that? And it can be a yes or no. But when you really look down into the essence of it, where it breathes life, what is it that you truly want? What is it that you truly want in your family? What is it that you truly want in your relationships? What is it that you truly want in your relationship with God? What is it that we're truly seeking? What is it that we're truly after? Because we plant seeds we plant seeds of goodness, and that's what's going to blossom. Psalm 1:3, listen to what it says. Psalm 1:3, the author says, "He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. That's what God says about integrity. That's what God says about living a life that is in love with Him. A life that is built upon the values that He has introduced for us. He said, you follow these. You live life the right way. And David, if you would look at the first part, that's Psalm 1:3. If you would look at the first part of that Psalm, David talks about meditating on God's law. Day and night. He talks about the psalmist David. When David wrote from that, David wrote many times about falling in love with the law of God. And not just the Ten Commandments, but the law. How God desires us to live our lives. How God desired for him to live his life. David said, I love God's law. And I wonder if he said that because David lived long enough. And yes, David, we look at David, man, he has a big one hanging out there, doesn't he? David had a huge one hanging out there. With this whole adultery thing, remember? And murdering and lying. All these things. But yet, David still, as the Bible says, David still had this huge heart for God. He repented and confessed of those things. And he was forgiven. And he had this huge heart for God's. And he understood God's law. He meditated on God's law day and night. And he found this incredible comfort and strength from living his life in God's law, to the point where he could say, because I meditated on day and night, because I'm in such love with it, the man that does these things, the man or the woman that does this, takes God's law, takes God's words, takes God's instruction, takes God's presence seriously and builds their life in that and on that, their life absolutely prospers. Their life absolutely prospers. That's the life that is like a tree that's planted by water where it just pulls up all kinds of nourishment and it bears its fruit in season. That's what it means to have integrity. That's what it means to be a man or a woman that is devoted to the law of God. That's what it means to be a man or woman that says, I'm going to build my life upon the values in which God has shared with us in His Word. I'm going to study His Word. And that's what a person's life looks like that takes it serious and says, this isn't going to be just aspirational. This is going to be actual within my life. And consequently, their life is so vastly different. I would like to think that my life, as I continue to press forward, that my life will continue to look like this. I know some people that are a little bit older in age and they've committed years of living the way God would have them to live, where they took the Word of God serious, where they didn't try to steal from God. They didn't try to steal from other people. They didn't try to steal from their family. They didn't try to steal in relationships or anything like that, but they were a person who took God's Word very seriously. And I want to tell you, you talk about someone that's contagious. You get around a person like that and you can see that raw humanness, the old nature that lives inside of us, like Paul talks about, you can see where they have allowed God to chisel away, just chisel away that rawness, that oldness, that old sin nature, that human nature inside of them. They've allowed God to just literally chisel it away. And what you see is a person that is just full of humility. A person that is just full of humbleness. A person that you want to be around and you cherish to be around. I can think of a few individuals and others that are on that journey. But I can think of a few individuals that I can look out to and say, I want my life to look like that. I want my life to look like that. I pray that we would be individuals. We don't do it out of egotistical, narcissism. But we would be the individuals that say, I want to live a life like that and also to provide a life that my kids can look at and pattern their life after. I wonder how many of us could state that, say, you know what? If my kids follow exactly the way I am, they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay in the eyes of God. So, Genesis 39, real quick. We read about an individual that we've talked about many times, a guy by the name of Joseph. And if you've studied Joseph, many of you have, it's just a quick snippet that I wanted to pull because he's so familiar. But when you look in Genesis chapter 39, what you see is a man that said, I want my life to be exactly like that, where my life is like a tree planted by streams of water, and whatever I do is going to bear fruit in its season. And when you look at the life of Joseph, you see his life like a roller coaster, right? He's young, he's growing up, his brothers take him and sell him into slavery. They were going to kill him, but they sell him into slavery. He gets sold off a couple different times in slavery. He rises to the top because throughout his life, there's a passage, there's a word, there's a couple words there that says, and all that Joseph did, something to the effect like everything that Joseph did, he prospered. Because God was behind him. God's hand was on his life. But the thing that made Joseph so unique was the fact that the man had integrity. The man had integrity. The man knew that the last thing that he wanted to do was to do something against his earthly relationships as well as his heavenly relationship. If you remember the story, in chapter 39, he has this encounter with Potiphar's wife. Now remember, his life is up and down. He gets sold in slavery. He gets all these things that happen. He gets pulled out of prison. He goes back to prison. He gets pulled out of prison. But in this particular point in time, he is in charge of all things. Potiphar said, you're in charge of all things. Okay? So he's literally in charge of all things. He's in the house of Potiphar at the time. Potiphar's not there. And Potiphar's wife begins to have eyes for him. And you've read the story, I'm sure. Potiphar's wife begins to have eyes, and Joseph says, I can't do that. I'm not going to get on that path. My life is about God. How could I do that against my earthly boss, Potiphar? How could I ever do that in the eyes of God as well? And so he kept resisting her. And you know the story. There came a time where he resisted her the very last time, and she gets mad, she gets angry, she reaches out, she tears his coat, so she has a piece of his coat, and he takes off, and she accuses him, falsely accuses him, of trying to have his way with her. She tells her husband becomes very enraged, and Joseph is sent back to prison. And that was Joseph's life. But throughout that passage of Scripture, even in just chapter 39, if you want to turn there real quick with me, I just want to share a couple sentences. Genesis chapter 39. In verse 21, it says this, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And the Lord made everything he did successful. That's what it means to live with integrity. Now, I'm not saying that success is measured by us, but God had his hand on Joseph's life. Joseph stuck with integrity. Joseph said, I've got values that I'm building my life upon. And they're not just aspirational, but they are actual values. And Joseph stuck with those. And because of that, his life prospered. Because of that, his life took shape and meaning. Whatever happened to him, this roller coaster of life, when it was in the pits, God kind of brought him up again. I mean, it was like everything Joseph did, it said he was successful because God was with him. That's the life that Joseph chose to live. That's the life that God can bless. Now, I want to share with you four quick things right here as the worship team comes back and we just kind of close. Number one, if we've slipped, this is what we do. This next slide coming up right here. We fix it. Now, when I say we fix it, I'm talking about, guys, there's times where we, like in this particular context, let's say we've stolen, let's pick something like we've stolen time. We've stolen, let's say something from our families, time from our families or whatever. You know how you fix it? You go and you make retribution. You go and you say this. This is what I've done, and I'm sorry. And I'm going to work on this. You see, that's what it means to have integrity. That's what it means to step up and be a man or be a woman. To say, you know what? I'm owning what I need to own. And we fix it. It's like, remember the whole Zacchaeus story? Where he's up in a tree and all this other stuff. He was a tax collector for the Jew, for the Romans. He was a Jew. Everybody hated him. And yet he comes, Jesus comes to his, into his life. Zacchaeus has this life-altering experience. Zacchaeus begins to go back to the people that he was cheating when he was taking the tax money from them. That's what the tax collectors did. They would go, they would take money, they would overcharge them for things, pocket some, give the rest to the Romans. All right? Zacchaeus had this life-altering experience with Jesus, and he goes back and he begins to make retribution. He begins to fix it. Guys, there are probably some things in our lives right now that God's bringing to our mind where God is saying, you need to fix this. You've got a broken relationship right here. You've got this, that, or the other, where you've stolen from them. You've done this. You've done that. How clean do you want to become? How real do you want to make this? How serious are you in building your life upon the values in which I talk about here? How serious are you about wanting to be a tree that's planted by the waters where you're going to bear fruit? How serious are you in this relationship with me? God's calling some of us in here this morning. You know there are some things upon your heart right now in your mind that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your consciousness and saying, this needs fixed. Enough is enough. The time is now. Stop delaying. Stop procrastinating. Stop acting like you're right in this. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. This is between you and I, and this needs fixed. Give it all to God. Give it all to God. It's amazing. I'm human too. I get it. I'm in the same boat, guys. But I want to tell you something. If we could just let go and give it all to God, we wouldn't be worrying about the first step here of fixing something. There's too many of us that want to hang on to too much of ourselves. God's saying, let it go. Give it all to me. Give it all to me. The last one, live above board. The Holy Spirit was sent to live inside of us at that moment of salvation. And I believe that He's our counselor. I believe that He leads us into righteousness. I also believe that He corrects and rebukes. The Holy Spirit is the one that's the gauge of God that says, this is not right. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to live above board and says, you know what? Let's not do these things. Let's not go down this path. Let's not have that conversation. Let's not take that position before someone. Let's not steal this. Let's not steal that. Let's not steal time. Let's not just sit here and split hairs. Let's start fixing things. Let's start giving it all to God. And let's start living above board. Let's stop rationalizing. And let's stop trying to justify everything. Let's give it all to God. And let's live above board. The beauty of God is this. This is the beauty of God and the weirdness of mankind. God is offering life to each and every one of us. And some of us refuse to take that life, and we will go, it's like we will go to our deathbed being the most miserable person on the face of this planet. Because we've got junk in our lives that God's saying, let me have it. Let me have it. Well, you don't understand what I've done. I don't understand what you've done, but I understand what God has done. I also understand, too, that always, when it seems like God's distant in our lives, it's not because He moved, it's because I've moved. It's when I turn and I begin to give it all back to Jesus, that I realize that he was standing right there the whole time. Friends, please tell me why it is so impossible for us at times to just turn and give it all up. What drives us to keep going further down and down and down into misery and into unpleasantness? And then, a little cherry on top, I'm going to justify it. This is why I'm miserable. That doesn't make sense. God is a forgiving God. God is a gracious God. God is, I'm convinced God is leaning in so hard, pressing in so hard right now on some of us because he's saying, man, I'm right here. I'm right here. Build your life on these values. Build your life. Give it to me. I'm here. I'll forgive you. I'm here. But that's your choice. That's not my choice. That's your choice. So as we close here with the song, I pray that you would just respond the way God would have you to respond. If you want to come pray, the elders would love to come pray with you if you choose that. If you would like that, we would love to pray for you. Maybe it's time some of you said, you know, I'm done. It's starting today. I'm going to fix this. I'm giving it all to God, and I'm going to begin to really live above board. Think about it. Think about it. Let the Spirit press in and engage with the Spirit here this morning. Let me, if you would, please stand. Let me close with prayer. And you respond the way God would have you to respond. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. I just want to thank you so much that you never give up on us. Holy cow. I don't understand it. I don't get this whole concept of unconditional love at all. My human nature goes so against it. It's such a dichotomy. It's such a paradox. I just don't get it. How you will give us something we most absolutely don't deserve. And yet you continue to love us and offer forgiveness. And you're right there willing, so willing to give us life and to give us freedom from this bondage that we carry around that just doesn't make sense. Father, I pray that people would find freedom here this morning. I pray that there would be bondage that would be stripped away here this morning right now as I pray. I pray, Father, that your children would come running back into your arms. Father, those that may not be struggling here this morning, may they begin to pray fervently for others that may be under bondage and deceived right now. Father, lift up, I pray that we would lift up this service right now for the power of your Holy Spirit to have freedom. And deception would be stripped away. Truth would be revealed once again. This is your time, Father. I pray that all that we have done and said today so far has brought you glory. And it's in your powerful name that we pray and ask all these things.